where slaveholders' paper spreadsheets evolved into Microsoft Excel. The narrative that emerged was far more complicated. Many business people in different geographies were developing new data practices independently. What I saw was a series of interconnected business histories that show how data practices, often thought of as quintessentially modern, coexisted with and even complemented slavery. Planters' control over enslaved people made it easier for them to fit their slaves into neat numerical rows and columns. To borrow a 21st century business buzzword, slavery and quantitative management were synergistic. Studying the ways profit and innovation can accompany violence and inequality is particularly important in the world of modern capitalism. The mythology of capitalism suggests that many individuals pursuing their own interests can make whole societies wealthier. In our current moment, it is a commonplace to hear people argue that the freer the market, the greater the profit, and the faster the growth. Generally, those offering such explanations assume that a free market does not include slavery, but as I have conducted my research, I have come to see things differently. From the perspective of slaveholders and other free whites, the freedom to enslave was an economic freedom. They feared abolition because of the ways it would restrict their rights to control labor and property. Viewed in this light, the abolition of slavery was a triumph of market regulation that restricted their economic freedoms, even as it offered freedom to so many others. It was remarkably easy for slaveholders to overlook the human costs of their profits, and it can be similarly convenient for modern managers and consumers to forget the conditions under which goods are made. For me, a certain image captures this forgetting. Elaborate engraved bookplates were sometimes pasted inside the front cover of account books. This one advertises the services of a New Orleans stationer selling blank books. A slaveholder might have flipped past it as he reviewed an inventory of lives or a record of cotton picking. The peaceful illustration offers a desktop landscape of pens, pencils, account books, and scrolls. The S in stationer is a dollar sign, connecting the paper technology of accounting with profit. The calendar celebrates Andrew Jackson's victory at the Battle of New Orleans. A stag, perhaps a paperweight, completes the pastoral view from the planter's desk. This view does not include slavery. For me, the image conveys something of the distance between the calculations of the planter and the violence of slavery. It shows how easily the connections between capitalism and slavery can be overlooked. From the comfort of the counting house or a basement conference room, it is perilously easy to render human figures as figures on paper and to imagine men, women, and children as no more than hands. Introduction. Thomas Walter Pear's plantation journal looks like a lab notebook. Pear opened the book in December 1834, and what began as a simple daily diary was soon punctuated with tables and experiments. In 1842, he calculated and recorded average picking rates for cotton and peas for each of the enslaved men and women laboring on his plantation. Pear recalculated average picking rates again in 1847 and compared them to outputs in 1849. Though this time he shifted from averages to maximums, perhaps optimistic he could accelerate the pace of labor. All along the way, he monitored the state of his workforce, tracking time lost to sickness and noting details on enslaved women's pregnancies and the all-too-frequent deaths of their children. Pear also ran frequent experiments in cotton. He tracked output across a dozen types of manure. He compared seed varieties, measured the ratio of picked to ginned cotton, and tested the effects of topping plants. He even experimented with the spacing of potatoes, comparing results when planting 8, 10, 12, and 14 inches apart. Pear's potatoes were not for sale, but by his estimate, they fed his workers from August 29 to December 17, almost all of the picking season. In this way, potatoes could be metabolized into cotton and thus into profit. Pear practiced scientific agriculture, or what critics sometimes disparaged as book farming. He and other book farmers appealed to data as well as experience, believing that careful record-keeping and numerical analysis led to increased output and higher profits. Today, this outlook is familiar. Business people quantify almost everything. Ratios and totals.